With Montana News, I'm Madeline Broom. Montana Governor Greg Gianforte Tuesday signed an executive order banning the use of COVID-19 vaccine requirements by government agencies or private businesses. MTPR's Aaron Bolton reports the order could be on legally shaky ground in the private sector.
Like Texas and Florida's governors, Montana Governor Gianforte has banned the use of what he calls vaccine passports. University of Montana law professor Anthony Johnstone says the state has the ability to decide it's not going to require proof of a COVID-19 vaccination in order for someone to enter state buildings or to receive state services. But Johnstone says the order likely has little authority over private businesses that want to implement a vaccine requirement for customers, as Gianforte's order says it bans. Johnstone explains that a governor's emergency rulemaking powers in this instance are tied to protecting public health.
This doesn't and probably couldn't cite those authorities because it isn't framed as advancing public health.
Johnstone adds that there's plenty of precedent for vaccine requirements in a number of settings, such as public schools and universities, even employers requiring their employees to be vaccinated against certain diseases, which Gianforte's order does not mention. The order does explicitly state that it doesn't ban long-term care or assisted living facilities from requiring proof of a COVID vaccination for residents. Montana University System Deputy Commissioner Brock Tessman says there's likely little impact, as the university system is largely focused on offering as many vaccines as possible to students and staff.
Campuses do require certain immunizations, but there hasn't been any talk of adding the COVID vaccine to that list.
There are a handful of bills making their way through the Montana legislature that would provide exemptions for COVID vaccination requirements on personal or religious grounds in schools or in the private sector. Aaron Bolton, Montana Public Radio News.
The Confederated Salish and Kootenai tribes have finalized their plan to improve coordination and agency response when Indigenous people go missing in the Flathead area. Caitlin Nicholas with YPR News reports the plan is part of a National Department of Justice project and will be used as a model for other tribes wishing to make their own community-specific plans.
CSKT has been developing their tribal community response plan since December 2020. The plan focuses on identifying and updating policies of law enforcement, victim services, media communication, and a log of community resources to streamline what happens when someone goes missing. Ellie Bundy, a CSKT council member and the presiding officer of the Montana Missing Indigenous Persons Task Force, announced the plan's completion in a task force meeting Wednesday. She says one major accomplishment is the plan brings all 10 law enforcement agencies working with CSKT into alignment.
Our law enforcement agencies establish a common missing Indigenous persons response policy, which is huge.
The plan also establishes a joint file system where law enforcement agencies can view and share information on cases, as well as a media lead for all CSKT missing persons communication. Bundy urged task force members to remember the people behind the missing persons statistics and policies. She spoke about the life of Jermaine Charlot, a CSKT woman who's been missing since 2018. She also told stories of other missing and murdered Indigenous people, including Ashley Loring Heavyrunner, a Blackfeet woman who's been missing since June 2017, and Selena Not Afraid, a Crow teenager who was found dead in January 2020.
And so the numbers I want you to consider today, 16, 18, 20, 21, 22, 23, the ages of these young ladies when they went missing. Think of someone in your family who may be that age.
Bundy says a particularly important part of developing the response plan was inviting family members of victims to discuss how procedures could be made more efficient based on their experiences. For YPR News and Report for America, I'm Caitlin Nicholas.
I'm Mary Auld. Montana lawmakers have voted down a bill that would have asked voters to change the state constitution and ban abortion in the state. MTPR's Shaylee Rager reports.
The proposal came up 5 votes short of the support needed from 2/3 of Montana's 150 lawmakers for it to advance. House Bill 339 would ask voters through a ballot measure to consider changing the definition of a person in the Montana Constitution to give full legal protections to fertilized eggs, zygotes, embryos, and fetuses. Effectively, it would ban all abortions. All Republicans in the House and Senate had cast votes of support for the bill, and all Democrats voted against it. Other bills to restrict access to abortion have already cleared the Republican majority legislature, but have not yet been signed into law. One would ban abortions at 20 weeks gestation, another would restrict access to medication abortions, and a third would require doctors to offer the opportunity to view an ultrasound before an abortion is performed. Republican Governor Greg Gianforte has said he supports a 20-week abortion ban and generally is opposed to abortion. I'm Shaylee Rager, Montana Public Radio News.
After it narrowly passed the Senate, the Montana House of Representatives is now considering a bill that would prohibit local governments from making rules about the sale of electronic cigarettes. James Bradley with the University of Montana's Legislative News Service has more.
Senate Bill 398, sponsored by Hamilton Republican Senator Jason Ellsworth, doesn't prohibit local governments from enacting reasonable restrictions, but would stop them from banning sales of alternative nicotine products or vapor products. Ellsworth said it was time for the legislature to step in after Missoula banned the sale of flavored vapor products in November. 11 supporters, mostly representing vape shops, said the bill would save their businesses. Gene Branscombe of the Montana Medical Association was one of 18 opponents who spoke against the bill.
We want to protect our pregnant women. We want to protect the unborn. We want to protect our young adults.
Many of the opponents raised concerns over children getting hooked on flavored nicotine products that they say are marketed toward kids.
James Bradley with the University of Montana's Legislative News Service reporting. A Montanan is reportedly expected to be President Joe Biden's nominee to lead the Bureau of Land Management. Several news outlets, including ENE News and the Associated Press, report the administration's decision to nominate Missoula's Tracy Stone Manning to the post. Stone Manning is currently the Associate Vice President for Public Lands at the National Wildlife Federation. She could not be reached for comment today. Stone Manning was a former chief of staff for Montana Governor Steve Bullock and also directed the Department of Environmental Quality during his administration. She also served as a senior aide to Democratic Montana U.S. Senator John Tester. Tester endorsed her presumed nomination in a statement today describing her as, quote, eminently qualified to take the helm at the Bureau of Land Management at such a critical time for the agency, end quote. Stone Manning also won endorsements from several environmental groups, including the Center for Western Priorities and the Montana Wilderness Association. Her nomination must be confirmed by the U.S. Senate. A spokesperson for Montana's Republican U.S. Senator Steve Daines says he'll review the record of whoever is chosen for the role and will listen to Montanans' feedback. For Montana Public Radio, I'm Mary Auld.